Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It seems all but certain. What was this committee called? The College Football Management Committee?
Management Advisory, all the buzzwords.
Anywho, a bunch of power players that run the college football playoff are putting out a proposal that will get rubber stamped through that will expand the playoff to 12 teams. There will be buys for the top four that have to be conference champions, and then everybody else is fair game, and the first round will be played in home stadiums. Did I miss anything there?
I think that's about it.
So apparently there was a great Jack Swarbrick quote, the athletic director at Notre Dame, as we are over here just railing on Notre Dame. Apparently he said that Notre Dame can't get a bye. So Notre Dame at best could win out, go undefeated. And Jack Swarbrick said that Notre Dame shouldn't be eligible for a bye in the playoff because Alabama and Oklahoma put their positions at risk in championship games. The first round for Notre Dame would basically be the same risk for the Irish.
And I think they would much rather take, so for example, in this model from last year, if it was used, Notre Dame would be playing Florida. And I fully believe that Notre Dame would rather face a team like Florida than whoever they would face in a conference championship, even if it's a harder game. You can kind of assume it'd be Clemson, depending on where Notre Dame would fit in the ACC. But I think no matter who their opponent is in this 5-12 standing, they'd take that over a conference championship game.
So where I would disagree with you is imagine being Notre Dame and being in, 12-0 with that, weird, crazy schedule with those traditional rivalries with USC and Purdue and everybody else that they always play every year. And then they always get like a weird ACC schedule. Mm-hmm. So they get like a half ACC schedule, half traditional Notre Dame schedule. Well, they love playing teams like Michigan, USC, Purdue. Well, those schools sometimes aren't good. In fact, recently, most of the time, they have been not good. So I go back to this idea of what if Notre Dame, kind of like that 2012 season when they ended up in the title game and got just boat raced by Alabama, I could see, going back to your point of it being Florida, I could see a three-loss Florida team playing an undefeated Notre Dame team and just kicking the crap out of them.
Well, because
and
Florida,
Notre Dame being incredibly embarrassed.
Because Florida plays LSU, Georgia, another rotating West game.
Yep.
Good SEC teams, and yeah, they play the lower seeded South Carolinas and Kentuckys of the world. But Florida's regular season schedule, I feel like I can say a blanket statement, is going to be much more difficult than whatever Notre Dame has been facing as of late. Because I mean, USC, Michigan, historical success, but right now not so much.
Boy, I tell you, Notre Dame, man. You know what's funny? This is the most relevant Notre Dame is, because I don't care about Notre Dame. Like, I don't know how everybody else feels about Notre Dame. I don't care. The idea of, should Notre Dame be in a conference? Should Notre Dame be in the bye? Should Notre Dame be in the playoff? Like, those are all discussions that will get just discussed at length over the next 2 or 3 weeks, however long this takes, that will get discussed at length as far as the college football stratosphere is concerned. And I don't give two poops about Notre Dame. I mean, to me, college football is kind of like the NFL. The Chiefs are the it team right now because the Chiefs have the it quarterback. And the second he leaves, all of a sudden, the Chiefs go back to kicking off at noon on CBS. And the next team that's got the it quarterback, unless they're Dallas, the next team that's got the it quarterback is right up to the top. And in college football, there's a little bit of that because everybody cares about Alabama. Everybody cares about Ohio State. Everybody cares about Clemson. But the traditional powers still carry a little bit of weight. It's different than basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball is... everybody, we want the blue bloods all the time. We want the Dukes, the Carolinas, the Kentuckys. We want them. That's a little different. But now it's like everybody's got to talk about Notre Dame. And I'm not a Notre Dame guy. I couldn't care less about Notre Dame. I just want to know how many teams we have to expand to get Vanderbilt in the playoff. That's all I wonder.
How many college football teams are there?
170-something?
Maybe around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think 119 maybe.
Then maybe about 100.
So we get to 100 the Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Go Doors.
But we get to about 90, then we get Tennessee in there too. But I could not care less about Notre Dame. And I know people are going to be like, Notre Dame's an important name, but I just couldn't.
I think a lot of people don't care about Notre Dame, but they are relevant just because they're different. They're relevant because they're the outlier in this whole situation. And they're not the only independent team in all of college football.
Did you know that Notre Dame is actually not the number one television draw in college football?
What is?
Guess.
Alabama?
No.
Texas?
No.
Penn State?
No.
Ohio State?
Yes.
Interesting.
And I've never understood why.
I think it's because I feel like Ohio State fans are everywhere. Like, for
why?
No reason.
Why?
For no reason. I don't know. Like, people that are Big Ten people, I very much so am not, but people that are Big Ten people are, like, love the Big Ten.
So, I'm kind of an anti-Ohio person. Like,
that's fair.
I don't see much relevance to the state of Ohio, really, in general. Like, there's nothing fun about it. Like, there's no great beaches, obviously.
Well, yeah.
The weather's terrible. But, like, you know how, say where the weather's terrible, like certain parts of the country, where the weather's terrible, like take a New England area where it can be awful.
Right.
Or Minnesota, you know, but like during the summer, it's just freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I never feel that way about Ohio. I just think that Ohio is just kind of there. There's nothing about Ohio I like. I think what happens is all these people are born in Ohio because it's a big state.
Yeah.
And then they move out of Ohio because there's no reason to be in Ohio. And so, like, what, Cleveland? No, thank you.
Cincinnati?
No, thank you.
Columbus?
So, and Cincinnati's in Kentucky anyways. Like, I know it's not, but it is. And so, yeah, I think that's what happens. All these people like, you know, Ohio State, and they move everywhere because Ohio's just not a great state. That's just my take, though. That's all I got on it. Let's get to your phone, 615-737-1025. Caroline, what's in our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com?
Just one second.
I threw you right there.
Yeah, you did, but that's all right. My computer's being slow. One texter texted in and said, what do the players want from all of this? Now is the chance for players to hold out for pay if the NCAA expands the playoffs.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I don't think so either. It's an interesting thought, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think that this is a money move for the powers that be and not for the players. Whether you think that's right or not, I think that's what it is. It's for the TV contracts and for the men in suits who are making these decisions at the college football playoff.
Chris Anderson has texted me and said, yes, the Ohio State.
My mom texted in and said Ohio is the armpit of the country.
Is your mom not from Ohio? I guess
she is from Tennessee.
Yeah, dude. Ohio stinks. Like, I know there's a lot of people from Ohio, and I know there's a lot of people who listen to this show from Ohio, but like, Ohio stinks. Like, just being real, and there's a reason you live in Nashville now, because Nashville doesn't stink.
Yeah.
Ohio stinks. Like, I lived in Kentucky, so I live right in between Tennessee and Ohio. Like, in Kentucky, there's not like a whole lot, but at least it's nicer. You know, like the winter weather is not bad in Kentucky. Like it snows.
You've got,
but it's not.
You've
awful.
Got a nice landscape.
Yeah, like it's fine.
The people are great.
The weather in Ohio freaking stinks. It stinks. And the cities are boring.
Ryan Porth says, please don't crap on Ohio.
Oh my God. I went to a women's Final Four in Columbus one time. Worst women's Final Four I've ever been to. And the women's Final Four is popping. Like people think I'm crazy. I've talked about this all the time. But the Women's Final Four, like every year, used to be one of the things that I just love doing every year. It's a true story. I was out in Dallas at the Women's Final Four like 5-6 years ago. I can't even remember. 3 years ago, maybe. And a bunch of my friends worked at Connecticut or played at Connecticut or whatever. And so there was this big UConn party, and I was there. And we left the UConn party, and all of a sudden, my buddy, I'm like, hey, I'm grabbing an Uber. He's getting whatever. We're going on to the next party. And next thing I know, Sue Bird and Sue Bird and a couple of other Connecticut people in our car. The next day, we're all hanging out. And Sue Bird, you know, they showed up. And there was a story from this driver that drove us home that night and how basically once Sue Bird and her crew got out of the car, about like the driver was like asking me all these questions that made me really uncomfortable. So I told my buddy who told Sue Bird. So then they were like, oh, you got to tell us about this driver. And there was this girl with Sue Bird, and I'm like, I know who this is, but I don't know who this is. I'm like, I know who this is. So Sue had her like a friend with her who was like a friend that she grew up with, named Marie. And I said, Marie, who is that? I know who that is, but I don't know who it is. And she goes, that's Megan Rapinoe from the U.S. soccer team. I go,
that's who that is.
I'm like, that's who that is. So I come back from Dallas the next day, and I think I land at like noon. So I'm in the studio. Ian, I don't know if you remember this, but it was like me, Floyd, Ryan, and maybe Ian. And I was telling the story about how I'm in this bar doing lunges and khakis with Megan Rapinoe and talking about how comfortable my pants are. And I'm like, oh, my God, I would love to tell this story on the radio. And Floyd looked at me just like, if you dare let that cat out of the bag, like that is like an all-time sin. And he would have been right at the time because they were not, you know, people didn't
know they were
together. Right. People didn't even know. I didn't know until I was there, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, they're together.
Yeah.
And now they're like the power, like, women's
they're
sports
the
couple.
The power couple, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So the women's Final Four is popping, which is a long way for me to say, like a very roundabout way for me to say that when I went to Columbus to the women's Final Four, it sucked because Ohio sucks.
Well, and Ohio sucks, too, because it's far away from everything else that's cool.
That's true.
I lived in Connecticut. Connecticut sucks. But it's 2 hours from New York. It's 2 hours from Boston. If I need to get away from Connecticut, I can. If you're in Ohio, you are stuck.
Chris
you're
Sanders
stuck
texted
in the middle
me.
Of nowhere.
Chris Sanders texted me and said, "I am offended you didn't say the Ohio State." He's not offended that we say that the state of Ohio stinks.
But that
he's offended that we didn't say the Ohio State.
Over my dead body, will I call that school the Ohio State University?
That is its name.
But I won't call it that.
Okay,
I don't
why?
Recognize it.
That's its name.
No, I know.
Your name's Caroline.
Yes, hi, nice to meet you.
If I started calling you Julie, you would be mad about that.
Well,
because Caroline is your name.
But my name, but if I said, oh, you have to call me the Caroline.
If your name was the Caroline, then I would expect myself to call you what your name is.
That's very nice of you. I appreciate that.
That is their name. It is the Ohio State University.
It's just annoying. Like,
that's their name.
It's so pretentious. The Ohio State University. Okay. The LSU. Doesn't make any sense.
So is Cam Newton naming his kid Chosen, but it is still his name.
That is kind of a strange name.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Headlines with Caroline next. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com on ESPN 1025. The game FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app, and you know it's NBA time. That's right. Big matchups into the second round, and you've got to be betting all the action on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I've told you that it is my official sportsbook app. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet does not win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet the same game parlay risk-free every week. So that's money line, point spread, first basket score, player points, rebounds, you name it. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give my official sportsbook app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app, a shot. Just sign up with the promo code JGM to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only, and refund issue is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refunded issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. I had a lot of fun with the TriStar Moving guys last night.
Good.
1025 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren Donick and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 1025 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. We need to get a Visit Ohio on as a sponsor of this radio show here in the near future. But now it's time for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Now, we touched on it earlier, but I want to give it the love that it deserves. Oklahoma beat Florida State today to win the Women's College World Series softball title. So congratulations to the Sooners.
I'm a little sad.
Are you, that it's over?
Yeah, dude, women's college softball
is a blast.
Addicting. Like, the thing is I think, and I don't know what the viewership numbers for the Women's College World Series is, but I'd be stunned
very much so
if it's
up.
Not. With legalized gambling the way it's going, I mean, I will tell you that I think that college softball, We talked about Notre Dame joining a conference and how, like, the old men won't want Notre Dame to join a conference because back in my day, we didn't have Notre Dame in a conference and we can't, kind of thing. And
that was good.
I've said college baseball's got to go to seven innings. Like, it needs to go to seven innings. These games are so long. I think Vanderbilt, first pitch tomorrow is 11 o'clock.
Oh.
I bet you we'll still be on. I bet we are on the air. That game will be in the sixth inning. Like, that's how long. College baseball takes for freaking ever. And college women's softball is exciting. The fences are in close. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm like, I'm not body shaming by what I'm about to say, but the girls are stronger and bigger than ever. So those fences are in, and they are hitting the crap out of the ball. And so you got home runs, exciting plays. Like, nobody in women's college softball knows how to run the bases, or everybody is just uber aggressive. But it almost looks like a NASCAR race every time there's, like, you know, they don't know which base to throw to, and then someone's caught in a rundown, and then someone else scores, and then it's like, it's so exciting. And the crowds for the Women's College World Series are nuts. And it's like, I mean, again, it's short, it's exciting. Everything that I don't like about soccer, with the Women's College World Series has. And I'm sad it's over.
It is super exciting, and I do have to say, from going to college softball games, there are some loyal fans who are there. Doesn't matter if it's 4 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. They are there. They have their programs. They know who is playing what position. They know their strengths. They know their weaknesses. There are some diehard women's college softball fans. So really, really cool to see them getting a lot more love. I believe the viewership numbers were around 2.2 million for the Women's College World Series. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to the Sooners, who lost their very first game, fourth team in history to lose game one and win the College World Series.
This is a very pro women's college softball show. I just want everybody to know that.
Yes. We're all for it. We're going to do Titans Mondays, but for women's college softball. Right?
I said we were pro it.
Okay. Fair. Not,
I mean, it's like, if you're pro gambling, it's different than we have a blackjack table in here kind of thing.
That's fair. Okay. Tennessee Titans agreed to terms on a contract with 2021 fourth round pick linebacker Rashad Weaver, the Titans announced today. So the Titans have come to terms with six of their eight picks from the 2021 draft, still have not signed corner Elijah Molden or linebacker Monty Rice, and I'm sure that's coming soon. But the headline surrounding Rashad Weaver is his legal trouble, and the fact that the Titans signed him today, I think, is a good sign for Rashad Weaver's legal situation.
Well, they don't really have a choice. I mean, they're going to have to sign the guy regardless of what the situation. I mean, once you pick him, there's a tender, and I mean, like, everything is kind of slotted, but there's a little negotiating. That's why third-round picks are harder to get done, because the amount of money is not what's being discussed right now, but the amount of guaranteed money is what is being discussed. And there's kind of a gray area in that third and fourth round. I don't totally understand it, but that's what I've been told. I don't think this has really any bearing. I mean, I think that the Weaver thing happened. We haven't heard anything else about it.
Yeah.
Like, it was a shock when it happened, and it was a shock because it was like a day after the draft, and it was embarrassing for a team that just drafted Isaiah Wilson. But like DUIs, assaults, things like that, we hear about them so much so.
And it doesn't make them okay or right.
No, but it's so like in one ear out the other. It just kind of felt to me that the Titans were just going to let everybody just throw grenades at them, and then after a couple days were over, everybody would forget about it and move on, and that kind of feels like what's happened here. I also don't think it's an accident that this deal was announced the same day Julio Jones had his first practice, his first press conference.
Because it's going to get buried.
And that it was announced after Mike Vrabel spoke today. I don't think that's an accident.
Probably smart on their end, because they knew that's where the questions were coming.
Sure.
But, I mean, you put it in perspective. All we've heard about Deshaun Watson is his legal trouble and his legal proceedings that are going on, because that's it's a thing.
Rashad Weaver's not Deshaun Watson.
I know that.
But that's my point, though.
Yes.
You know, like, you can't bury a Deshaun Watson headline because it's Deshaun Watson.
Right. Also, a little bit of news in Boston. So, Boston lost in the playoffs to the New York Islanders last night. Great game by the Islanders. We talked a little bit about Tuukka Rask in Carolines and how you don't necessarily feel good about putting money on Tuukka Rask.
Because he sucks.
ESPN's Greg Wyshynski reported today that he, Tuukka Rask, said he's considering surgery on a nagging injury that left him less than 100% in the postseason. They wouldn't say what the injury is. They wouldn't say where he is, whether he's 90 or 50 or whatever it may be. Said he may need surgery. He may not. Tuukka Rask is 34 years old. Like, do you really see him getting surgery and coming back to the Bruins?
I like Tuukka, but Tuukka's kind of, at this point, Tuukka is, I said he sucks. He doesn't suck, but he's just a choker. Like, he really is. And he's a good guy. I covered him for a year when I first got into this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good guy, but he's just a choker. Like, he really, truly chokes. And I just think that, you know, he's got all the money. He's had the career. He won a cup. Like, played in another cup. Had a lot of, played in two cups.
Played in two cups.
Played in three cups. I mean,
played in three cups, 1-1.
He's had success. Like,
they've been to the postseason almost every year.
I think, like, you know,
I mean, he's a name that you know.
He just seems like the kind of guy to hang it up. I mean, he's had a full career. And again, I just think he's kind of a choker.
Unfortunate for him. But I don't see him coming back, personally. That's my personal take.
I think he's done, too.
I think he's done.
And I know Boston. Boston's going to go to the Swayman kid. I mean, he's their goalie of the future.
And in Boston, the expectation is the playoffs. The expectation is the Stanley Cup final.
Well, I mean, I'll say this about Boston. Like, we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time I bring up the fact that Ryan Tannehill threw for 165 yards and one interception and a touchdown and a playoff loss, everybody thinks, like, I'm trying to dog on Tannehill. Like, all of a sudden, like, I'm Mr., like, anti-Tannehill because I bring up the fact that even though Tannehill is better than everybody thought when Miami dumped on him, in the playoffs, Tannehill has not gone toe-to-toe with Mahomes or, you know, has not carried the team in a game. And everybody thinks because I'm just bringing up the possibility that Tannehill may be a little bit less than the top quarterbacks in the league that you would have to compete with in order to win a Super Bowl, that I'm some, like, anti-Tannehill guy. In Boston, I mean, if you get that kind of reputation up there, they will let you have it. I mean, they do not care. When I first moved up there, the Patriots lost in the playoffs to the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. And I remember listening to the phone calls on Boston radio, and it was like, Brady's got to go. It's time to give Ryan Mallett a chance. And Belichick's got to go. And it's time to – and I'm thinking to myself,
it do kind of sound like that.
Well, my team at this point – had Jake Locker as their starting quarterback and Mike Munchak as their coach. And I'm listening to these people badmouth Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I think that, you know, it's just it's a different kind of beast up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really
is. The expectations are different.
It really is. I mean, I there's a lot of people that have a life a lot better here than they would there because of how things are treated there. Those are headlines. With Caroline. ESPN 94.9 is the home for Nashville Sounds baseball. Tonight, the Sounds host the Indianapolis Indians, the AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates at First Horizon Park. Pre-game show with Jeff Hym starts at 6:50. First pitch is at 7:05. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza Company. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. At first, I thought good for him. Now I think maybe I'm a little jealous. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Father's Day, ESPN 102.5 The Game is saluting frontline fathers. Submit written descriptions of fathers who are serving on the front lines, including military, hospital workers, firefighters, or police. The week of June 14th, 102.5 The Game will air those submissions via call-ins, text messages, our website and social media. Visit thegamenashville.com now for more information. So, I don't know if anybody noticed this last night, but Barry Trotz is kicking some serious rear end in the NHL, and they beat Boston convincingly. They convincingly won this series. They convincingly won their series against Pittsburgh. And I just remember how the whole Barry Trotz thing went down, which was Barry had a great run here. You know, when I was a kid and I didn't really care much about the Predators because the Predators were kind of what they were, everybody just kind of always felt like, well, our team doesn't have enough money to compete. And Barry Trotz seemed like a nice enough guy, so on about my day I went. Then when they got good, Barry Trotz was the coach, but it always felt like they were lacking something offensively. When they fired Barry Trotz, I was against it, but I didn't really know enough about it to have much of a feeling other than the fact that I liked Barry Trotz. And then when the Predators had success without Barry, it kind of felt like, well, good for the Predators. You know, Barry's okay, you know, in Washington, but good for the Predators because they're winning with Laviolette and it was the right move. Here you go, whatever. And ever since that happened, and everybody seemed to turn on Barry when there was this sense of, well, he can't win with Alexander Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Backstrom and Braden Holtby, and he can't win with those guys. You knew even then Washington didn't want Barry Trotz anymore. And then Barry Trotz won the Cup. And then there was kind of a big summer of debate, which is, was Barry the reason they won that Cup? And Washington didn't think so, because they weren't willing to pay him. And so he goes off to the lowly Islanders. Now he's getting paid. But he and Lou Lamoriello go off to the lowly Islanders, and without a big boy forward, and without star goaltending, and without anything, Barry Trotz is back in the conference final. Barry Trotz took down the Pittsburgh Penguins after they had won the Stanley Cup, and they swept them. Barry Trotz just beat a Boston Bruins team that I think was fully loaded and intending to go to the Stanley Cup final. And here we are with names like Crosby and Malkin and Bergeron and Marchand and Pasternak all out. And here's Barry Trotz still coaching. And again, not to make this about did the Predators make a terrible decision on Barry? Because honestly, while I was against it at the time, like the Predators have had some success post-Barry. But I wonder two things. One, is Barry Trotz the most disrespected man in the NHL from the standpoint that Washington wanted? Washington was willing to let him go. They had their coach. They wanted to promote to head coach. And then Barry made it impossible for them to fire him. So they just didn't give him a good contract offer. And he went to New York and they put, what was it, Reardon? They put him
Todd
behind
Reardon,
the bench.
I think, yeah.
Todd Reardon. They put him behind the bench. 2 years later, after Barry beat his ass, he's fired, in comes Laviolette. And then there's here, where we can't go one playoff game without looking at this coach's lineup and thinking to ourselves, well, why is he doing that? And here's Barry Trotz just chugging along. Now, again, the city of Nashville has an incredible amount of respect for Barry Trotz. They treated Barry Trotz very well. I mean, even when they fired Barry Trotz, or I shouldn't say fired, they did not renew his contract, which is the same as firing. They treated Barry Trotz with a ton of respect on his way out the door. I remember when Barry Trotz won the Cup, David Poile wrote a letter about Barry Trotz, congratulating Barry Trotz. I mean, Washington disrespected Barry. I mean, Washington really, you know, I think they treated Barry Trotz like he was a piece of dirt. Here they treated Barry well. It was just they thought it was time for a change, and they went out and got Laviolette. That's fine. But I wonder if Barry has just been so disrespected, and he's proving everybody wrong now. And the other thought I have is, I think Barry Trotz might be the best coach in the league. And that's amazing to think about, right? Like, I've always liked Barry Trotz, but best coach in the league? But I really think he is. I asked Adam Vingan today, I said, is Barry Trotz the best coach in the NHL? And Adam Vingan said, hold on, I'll tell you what Adam said without, I mean, he said yes, but also John Cooper at Tampa Bay. And Adam said he's definitely up there. I would include John Cooper too. John Cooper's got Steven Stamkos. John Cooper has Braden Point. He's got the best goalie in the league. He's got Victor Hedman. He's got Nikita Kucherov. I mean, that's a squad. No disrespect to Cooper, because he seems like a good coach. But, I mean, I'm watching this and I'm thinking, man, Barry Trotz might be the best coach in the NHL. And I'm not doing this to have this whole, like, discussion about whether or not was it a bad decision for the Preds to let Barry go or anything like that. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, like, after the smackdown of the Bruins, I mean, that was a convincing series win over a really good team. This guy might be the best coach in the league. And I'm just like, I'm just shocked thinking about the idea of Barry Trotz as the best coach in the NHL. Ian, what do you think?
I mean, he is up there. I would probably put John Cooper ahead of him, even though your point is valid about how many studs Tampa Bay is rolling right now. But, I mean, Tampa is rolling. And 2 years in a row, and more than 2 years in a row, if you include, you know, playoff, not playoff performances necessarily. But what Tampa's doing right now, it's hard to take that away from John Cooper, even with, you know, the studs he has. But I do think there's an argument to be made that he is a top, I would say probably a top five to top three coach right now.
I mean, I'm thinking like just top five coaches in the NHL right now. I'm thinking obviously Barry, John Cooper, Joel Quenneville, I think goes in the top. What he did with Florida this year, I mean, I'm putting Quenneville in the top five.
Did you put Brind'Amour in that conversation?
I think Brind'Amour's probably in the discussion, as is Jared Bednar in Colorado.
Pittsburgh coach is pretty up there. Sullivan.
Peter DeBoer, I think, has to be a part of the discussion after what he did with both San Jose and now what he's doing with Vegas. I think he's certainly a part of it. I think there's a place in this discussion for Laviolette as far as best coach in the league. I mean, I'm not going to say Peter's the best coach in the league, but if we're talking about who's up there, but, I mean, it really is. In the last 3 years, Barry Trotz has been, I guess it's four because we're counting 2018 when he won the cup, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Barry Trotz is killing it right now. He literally might be the best coach in the league. And you know what gets me a little bit is if we were to say, you know, top 10 coaches in the league right now, Trotz, Laviolette, and Dean Evason are all in it. And at one point they were all, like, Evason was the coach of the Admirals, Laviolette was the coach here, Trotz was the coach here, and this coach won't play Dante Fabbro. Like, that's, you know, I mean, and again, not to make this about the Predators, but, I mean, Barry Trotz is killing it. So I just want to get that off my chest. After, again, what was an unbelievable, I thought an unbelievable job by them to knock off that Bruins team.
It was a fun series.
It was a fun series. That Pittsburgh series was a fun series. I mean, I think you got to give Barry his due. Caroline's is coming up next, 615-737-1025. The Nashville Predators and 1025 The Game are jointly hosting a 615-day celebration presented by Social Furniture at the Ford Ice Center Bellevue, benefiting Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee this Tuesday. During the 12-hour window from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 1025 The Game will broadcast live from Ford Ice Center Bellevue. Fans will have multiple opportunities to take the ice during donation-based public skate sessions. Draft Picks Restaurant and Bar will also be open all day outside from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Ford Ice Center Bellevue parking lot will be overflowing with food and beverage options, so it'll be very, very excited, and all of it will benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. The Nashville Predators Foundation, empowered by Smile Direct Club, is running a silent auction, which is live until 6:15 p.m. on June 15th. Text Preds to 76278 to bid on exciting sports merchandise and signed Predators apparel. 100% of the proceeds go directly to charity. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/615day. Caroline's is next. One of the things I am so glad that I can do hosting a local radio show in my own city is that I can leave the homerism at the door, which is why yesterday I picked against the Atlanta Braves. I knew their bullpen was shot after having to win the game the other night, and that was why I told you I was picking Philadelphia, was because that Braves bullpen, Will Smith, blows the save.
Yep.
Walk off Philadelphia. By the way, Philadelphia walked off again against Atlanta today. Braves bullpen stinks. Braves stink. That's just
neither I'll keep that one in my back pocket. Thank you.
So right now, Caroline already lost the first set. The first month, and now we're getting
which
close.
Is a bit misleading. I won one day, and that was the all or nothing.
Yeah, well, now you're getting kind of close on week. You know, it's Thursday for this. For
today's
this
a big
one.
Day.
I mean, you know, hey, 6-6-1 for Caroline Fenton this week. 9-4 for yours truly.
That one, just give me a win. Give me a dub.
That's not how it works. Time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So we talked about the Islanders Bruins series and how fun it was to watch, but I think the most fun series so far this playoff season is the Avs and the Golden Knights.
Yes.
And I am going to take the Avs on the money line tonight, plus 118. And the Avs have been a favorite to win the cup for a very long time. They know the stakes of tonight. If they lose tonight, they're out. They're done, and Vegas advances. Vegas is a really good team. And they continue they've continued to prove that during this series. They won three in a row. I believe they've won three in a row after Colorado went up two in a row. Colorado wants to go back home, and they want to force a game seven. They want to go back home, and they want to win it at home. And I think tonight they do just that.
I am going to take the Colorado Avalanche, too. I think they're the best team in the league. I think I'm going to take them. I get plus 1.5 here, right?
Yes.
I'm going to take them plus 1.5 because every game in the series has been down to the wire.
Odds aren't great on plus 1.5. Last time I checked, it was minus 230.
Those are not great odds.
Not great. That's why I just went ahead and did the money line.
I'm going to take the Avs plus 1.5.
Okay.
I will say this. I think the Avs are the best team in the sport. Mm-hmm. And I think right now Tampa Bay is playing at an entirely different level. But I just feel like this is the best series. This is one of those things, what we normally hate in hockey, mm-hmm. like when the Predators and the Jets went seven games, and those were the two best teams in the sport that year. You hate that in the second round. We're not getting that because I think Tampa might be the second best team, mm-hmm. but I think Vegas is right there. I think Vegas and Colorado are right there. So I'm going to take the Avs. I think this baby goes seven.
I agree. We've also got Nets, Bucks.
Coming up right after us, by the way.
Yes. Yes, right after us on ESPN. I'm going to take the Nets money line plus 132. The Nets have given us zero reason to think that they will not beat Milwaukee in four. They're up to nothing. They won game two without James Harden. And they did not just win. They smoked the Bucks 107-86. And in the two games that the Nets have had, 52 assists and just 18 turnovers without James Harden. Those numbers are astronomical. And this game is in Milwaukee. But that's not enough for me to swing to the Bucks. Give me the Nets on the money line plus 132.
What is the point total, or what is the point spread?
I will tell you in just 1 second.
Because I am leaning towards the Bucks, not to win, but to take them plus the points.
Okay.
Plus
3.5. Bucks are minus 3.5.
That's not good enough.
And overall point total is 234.
You said the Nets are plus 3.5?
The Nets are plus 3.5.
The Nets are the dogs here?
Yes, because it's in Milwaukee. So the Nets are plus 132 on the money line.
Well, that's tough. I'll take Milwaukee just to be different. But I don't really feel very strongly about them. I was thinking that Milwaukee was going to be like 8-point dogs.
That's kind of what I thought. I mean,
and
after
I was
they got
take them plus
blown
eight.
Out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to take them like plus 8 or something just because I figured they'll give you a fight tonight. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm going to take Milwaukee. But, yeah, no, I'm leaning more towards the Nets. And I will say this, you know, everyone's telling me this year because LeBron got knocked out that, oh, it's wide open in basketball.
I don't think so.
The Nets are a super team, and they got to figure that out.
And the Suns. I watched the Suns game last night, and they dominated that game.
Yeah,
kind of came out of nowhere. Suns are very good. We also have Red Sox Astros tonight. Give me the Stros minus 108. Red Sox are also minus 108. So kind of a pick 'em there. Stros have future Hall of Famer right-handed pitcher Zach Greinke on the mound. He has a 3.38 ERA, 6-2 over 13 starts. I think he's better than a 3.38 ERA. That's my personal opinion. He's now gone 8 innings or more, allowing just one run in 3 of his past 4 starts. So a lot of longevity there. The Red Sox have left-handed pitcher Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound. You know I love a left-handed pitcher, but he has a 5.59 ERA, 5.4 in 11 starts. He was out the entire 2020 season with an illness, so I feel like he's just kind of getting back into the groove of things. The Astros have scored 15 runs in the first two games of the series, and I think they get the sweep tonight.
I'm going to go with the Astros on the money line, too. The pitching matchup's too much for me.
It's too much.
It's Zach Greinke versus Eduardo Rodriguez. I'm going to go with Greinke in this one. I am going to go back to the well. Yesterday, the Toronto Blue Jays took care of business for me. They are favored with Hyunjin Ryu tonight going up against the White Sox, who have Dallas Keuchel on the mound, though Keuchel is 4-1. I am going to go with Toronto. Not only I'm going to make this easier on you, but you got a chance to get back in. I'm going to go Toronto on the money line. And the over-under is currently at 9. I'm going to take the over in this game.
Okay. I'm going to take the under in this game, and I'm going to take the White Sox on the money line. They didn't do me any favors yesterday. The pitcher who gave up a bunch of runs, his last name is Bummer. Ryan Porth and I were talking about that last night because he was the one who gave me a little tidbit on betting on the White Sox yesterday. So thank you to Bummer, who quite literally was a bummer for me last night.
Was a bummer. That's it for us. We're out of here. Nets and Bucks coming up next. As we just discussed, the Bucks are favored down 2-0 in game number 3 tonight. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We are back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.